Oh, keep. Lord bought us the way we are. A lot of times we go purchase something, and if it's not perfect, no, we don't want that one. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us the way we are. Amen.
Soon, very soon, we are going.
Father.
Amen, amen.
I am the ultimate. Praise God. Let's not forget our coffee sale coming up Friday. Anybody that can assist in preparing and delivery. Certainly would welcome you. I don't know if anybody has bought these, but we shall resume. And tonight we will be coming off of the one examining the peace offerings. Examining the peace offerings. It's really amazing to be able to get an idea of what the ministry, the priesthood, and the people of God had to do just to be able to have fellowship with the Lord and with one another. Mm-hmm. Of course, you look at everything that has been structured in the priesthood and the, you know, what people talk about, Mosaic system of sacrifice, and they only use that term as far as Moses is concerned, because Moses was the one that was basically the mediator between God and the Israelites. So he had his hand upon all of the what was taking place as far as not just the establishment, but the ceremonies and the executing of the ceremonial laws. Of course, that also bringing in the civil law and the moral laws, and obviously putting them in place with the people of Israel. So a lot of activity. When we take a look at it, a lot of activity in these sacrifices. Of course, they were daily sacrifices, so you can imagine the amount of activity that was around the tabernacle every day. Amen. Sacrifices that were offered in the morning and sacrifices that were offered in the evening. And of course, the head of the family, which was responsible for representing the family and bringing their sacrifice before the Lord. And I always remember in that particular order, the sin offering and then the burnt offering and then the peace offerings. Always in that order, the sin offering, the burnt offerings, and the peace offerings. And so all this to establish fellowship with the Lord, all this to do that, and of course to keep themselves in a place of right standing, being sanctified. Amen. And their relationship with the Lord, and then of course with one another. Amen. All this was, amen, all this was is what was enacted as far as them obeying the commandments of the Lord. And it's awesome. A lot of times we don't, you know, when you read it, and you go with these passages of scripture, you always have to remember some of them are written, it's written in such a way where you'll be reading about it in one place and you'll be go on with reading about something else pertaining to the sacrifices and the laws, and here it comes again, it's mentioned again. So it kind of throws you into confusion.
Yeah. Right.
And you're thinking like, what? But all he's doing is just basically, it's kind of like he's reinforcing or reminding you. Bringing it back to you, you know, to understand. And so that's kind of how, and to me, I was sharing just a little bit with Brother David today and texting, and he said it's really amazing. He said the Hebrew, he said it's just amazing how, he said, just to be able, not just to understand it, to read it and everything, he said, but just everything that is contained in it, just everything that is there in Hebrew, he said, it's a powerful language. And of course, it's and how he referenced it. He said it's a language that has life in it. So when we use it, when we allow ourselves to come, you know, to an understanding in it, that's what God does. God quickens the word in us, and that's a statement that David said a number of times. In the book of Psalms, when he said, quicken me according to thy word.
Amen.
Make me alive according to thy word.
Yes.
In other words, that's just simply what that means. Make me alive according to thy word. So in other words, because of that, God's word, which is life,
yes,
is quickened or quickened in us so that we can live unto him. And that's how it happens. So this is the important thing about understanding the sacrifices. You have to remember this, because a lot of people never take this into consideration and never think about it from this point of view. But we're obviously talking about establishing fellowship with God.
Amen.
So because of the sin nature of man,
yeah,
sin always has to be dealt with first.
Yes. Amen.
Sin always has to be dealt with.
Right.
Yeah. The sin question in our lives.
Yep.
First thing on the agenda.
Yes.
And that's the reason why the blood sacrifices. And remember, we stated that, you know, the blood sacrifices and everything that were there and what they did for us, and how it closed that gap between us and the Lord so that we could have fellowship with him. But once we've established fellowship with him, we'll be able to have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
Because we are all partakers of that same,
yes,
amen, that same covenant, that same doctrine. So
amen.
Here we are, we're doing what we can to establish that relationship. And what an awesome way to bring God's people together. You think about
yes
it.
Amen.
So examining the peace offerings, Leviticus chapter 3, and we'll just read as we go along here, and Leviticus chapter 3, likewise this, excuse me, I have to find the right chapter first. Amen. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offerings an offering made by fire unto the Lord, that the fat that covereth the inwards, and all that the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Now he's talking about, you notice when he begins his instruction, he's speaking in a sense, he brings out and he does make the distinction. He talks about the herd. He talks about the herd, and then here he's talking about the flock. So he's obviously speaking about a sacrifice that comes from the herd is obviously
cattle,
oxen, and from the flock, sheep. So there were different types of sacrifices, you know, that we're talking about the peace offering, but the different types of sacrifices that were used, and that's what he's talking about here. And unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offerings an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat thereof and the whole rumpet shall be taken off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the cowl above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering, pay attention, made by fire unto the Lord. It is the food of the offering, made by fire unto the Lord. Note that, because that's important for you to understand this whole process, this whole procedure of sacrifice. And in verse 12, if his offerings be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the cowl above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. Now look what he says. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Okay? But you notice something. He said, and he says that it is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is the food. There's a reason why he says that. As we examine the use of the peace offerings that were presented to the Lord, we come into an understanding that these sacrifices were, in essence, listen to this, meals that were shared by the individuals who offered them, the priest, and the person, the Israelite, who brought them as a burnt sacrifice. Did everybody hear that? They were meals. So you get what he's saying here, the food of the offering. So everybody's probably trying to figure that out. Something really important. Something vitally important to you and I. And when we understand the customs, especially you understand about Oriental or Mid-Eastern customs, they had certain customs. Of course, the Lord was obviously very familiar with these customs, because some of these customs, he is the one that obviously structured them, or he's the one that brought them and placed them. Customs that they used. And you notice this, they're always used in relationship to him, and they're always used in relationship with one another. It's important for you to understand it. So when you read everything about these sacrifices, you keep that in mind, because this is what God called his people to be.
Amen.
All right?
Yes.
It was important for them to understand this, to establish this relationship. Now you notice that the difference in the different types of offerings, of course, the bullocks, the herd, the flocks, the sheep, the goats, and even sometimes in some of the sacrifices, as far as sin sacrifices, he even said, you know, if you couldn't afford to bring a bullock, or if you couldn't afford to bring a ram or a goat or a sheep, you brought a dove or a turtle dove. Why was it? He made it possible for everybody to be able to present a sacrifice. Okay?
Yes.
So if you were a person that owned a lot of flocks, of course you brought of the flock, you brought of the herd, and if you weren't a wealthy person, you were still able to bring to present a sacrifice.
Right. Amen.
So here's the thing. Why is that so important? Because God wants everybody covered.
Amen.
Don't make a difference your status.
Right. Amen.
He wants everybody covered.
Yes.
He wants everybody presenting a sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So that's why he said, when they come before me, make sure they don't come empty-handed.
Amen.
Make sure they have something somewhat to offer.
Right. Amen.
Whatever that prescribed sacrifice was. Amen.
Amen.
So we just kind of went past the sin offerings. We went past the you know, when sin was taken care of course they were, you know, offered up the ram and the bullock and all that for, what did we say? For sin, for justification and sanctification. Sin had to be taken care of. So once that was taken care of, once your sin was covered, once that blood was applied, you ever notice this? The scripture says in Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged by blood.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Almost all things are by the law purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So unless blood was shed, there was no remission. So remember that. It's the reason why the sacrifice was offered, was given. Of course, I'm just kind of going back just to remind you. Sin was dealt with first.
Right.
So once your sin was dealt with, guess what? That's what stood between you and God.
Right.
Your sin stood between you and God. So once you put that sin and it was remissed by the blood, you were brought closer to him.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You were brought closer to him. So as a result of you being brought closer to him, what was the next thing? What did you do when you obeyed the word of God? When every Israelite obeyed the word of God and they brought a sacrifice, amen, they were proving to God that they wanted to have fellowship with him.
Right.
They wanted to take care of the very thing that basically separated them.
Amen.
And so when they did that, guess what they did? You know what happens when we come and we repent and we offer a sacrifice? You know what happens? We're saying, We want peace with God.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
We want peace with God.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? Especially all you young people.
Yeah.
To be able to have peace with God, guess what? Take care of the sin in your life.
Right.
Amen.
And so we see that. So let me read it again. In essence, meals that were shared, okay, we come to an understanding that these sacrifices were in essence meals that were shared by the individuals who offered them, the priest, and the person, the Israelite, who brought them as a burnt sacrifice. Meals. When access to God was accomplished, offerings for sin and atonement, and fellowship had begun between God and man, the peace offering was the means that the relationship was established and maintained. The peace offering.
Amen.
Remember the Hebrew word. Now you can, when you take a look, and I shared just a little bit with you on the other offerings, the sin offering and the burnt offering and the trespass offering, and all this, all the different words used to describe these offerings, they're different they're sacrifices. They're different words. In as far as the peace offering is concerned, the peace offerings was the means that that the relationship was established and maintained. Remember the Hebrew word. This Hebrew word, zeba, is what is described or is the peace offering. Zeba is used for this sacrifice. The fact that the people shared in the eating of the zeba, the sacrifice became a communal meal in which the Lord hosted his people.
Amen. That's awesome.
Now, is that starting to make sense to you now?
Yes. Amen.
A meal.
A meal.
Praise God. My little note there says, eating is also a type of communion and fellowship. It is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Ask yourself the question, what's one of the most important rooms in your house? Usually the kitchen.
Yes.
Kitchen's where the family congregates. The kitchen is where they visit, talk, and it's where they eat.
Yes.
It's an important place, a central place of communion
and
fellowship.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
So obviously, it's a custom we all share.
Right. Yes.
And the thing about it is, and as we go on, it also expresses the intimacy.
Amen.
Of the individuals or the families that share in this type of, amen, communication.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Nice to sit down and break bread.
Yeah.
Visit, talk, be happy.
Yes.
Huh? Right.
Amen.
I know food does make people happy.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Praise God.
Especially when it tastes good.
Yeah, yeah. When it tastes good. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I was indulging in Sister Dina's rice dish there, that rice pudding, and I was getting on it, and Sister Betty says, save a little bit for Lana.
That was buttermilk, by the way, not rice.
And was it
that buttermilk?
Not rice.
Buttermilk?
That was made out of buttermilk.
Did you put a little bit of cinnamon in there?
It's sprinkled with cinnamon, yeah.
That's how I tasted it.
Yeah, so good. Man,
I told Betty, I said, there's some cinnamon in this. My taste buds picked up on that cinnamon, and I thought, but I thought it was rice. I guess it's not rice.
It tastes like the rice pudding. No, it's all buttermilk.
But I have to.
Now
I had to share.
Now everyone's wondering.
Yeah, I had to share. So eating is also a type of communion and fellowship. Israel typically partook of the same sacrifices of which God had partaken off of the altar. So I want you to understand this. The whole reason of the sacrifices that were presented to him off of the altar. Guess what? He's the one that partook of it first.
Amen.
He received it.
Yes.
If it was acceptable, he received it.
Right.
And partook of it first. And then come here, here comes the second part of it. The person who offered it, the priesthood, and the person who offered it also partook of it also.
Amen.
Wow.
That's awesome.
You ever wonder why he says it was a sweet smelling savior? See, it's not as, you know, boring and you know, when you really look at what is going on here and how God establishes his relationship with us.
Yes.
Via.
Yes. Amen.
When you obey his word.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Humble yourself.
Amen.
And so we see that. Good example. There can be no partaking with another of the same food unless there be peace and friendship between the two.
True. Amen.
It's
very true.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
It's hard to eat with somebody that you
don't like.
You want to enjoy your meal, don't you?
Thank you, Jesus.
So in this setting, you know, you're sitting down to commune, you're sitting down to partake of. And you're partaking of it with him.
Yes.
So when we look at it with that kind of understanding, it makes it even more, amen, meaningful, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, it does.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Israelites, obviously, they understood that.
Yeah.
Good example. Go with me to Genesis 31. Go back to the book of Genesis 31, just to give an example of what we're talking about. Genesis 31. And uh, 54, it says, I'll let you get there. Genesis 31:54, it says, then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. So here we kind of get an idea, or we get a glimpse. If it wasn't connected to the sacrifice, the word sacrifice would have never been used in this context.
Right.
So it was obviously, like I said, it's a custom that they practice, and that's what they did. So here we have, here we establish that amen, unless the two parties have peace and friendship between one another, they cannot sit down and they cannot partake.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
The word Ziba was used in this description of the communion and fellowship made between the two families of Jacob and Laban. And it's also used in the context that we're reading in Leviticus chapter 3. So in other words, we establish that. To sum up the use of this type of peace offering, we see that communion and fellowship were established between God and man by the sharing of this sacrifice. The Ziba, most of the portion, listen to this, was returned to the individual who presented it for a peace offering. It was offered to the Lord on the altar first as a sacrifice, and then it was also shared with the priest who officiated. Amen.
Amen.
Here's something.
Yeah.
You ever notice this? So when you partook of the sacrifice, which that's what the peace offering represented, you made peace with God, so you're going to sit down, you're going to have fellowship with God, you're going to have communion with God. So what happened, what established that fellowship and what established that communion with God was this. The very act of ingesting. The very act of ingesting the sacrifice. So what does that mean? The very act of ingesting His word. Because they were obeying His word. So because they ingested the sacrifice, they ingested His word, His commandments. Amen. So that's what established, amen, that relationship, that's what established that peace and that fellowship between God and His people.
Amen. Yes.
You ever wonder why it is? Now, pay attention, because to me, this obviously brings a lot of understanding to us as far as our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Because we can come in here, and of course, this covenant we have is not based upon the Mosaic covenant, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. It's based upon a better covenant.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
It's based upon a better covenant. So you think about this. Why is it that, you know, when we think about having that relationship with God based upon, you know, we've made, amen, we've obeyed the word, we've all been baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And here we are. Now we're born again into the family.
Yes.
Into the royal priesthood.
Yes. Huh? Amen.
The tribe of Judah, the royal priesthood.
Yes.
We're a holy nation, we're a peculiar people.
Yes. Amen.
And a royal priesthood. So you think about it. Now we're in that position. So what does that mean? Because we're in that position, we've established that fellowship by obeying His word.
Right.
But guess what? Our sacrifice was the sacrifice that He offered up for you and I, which was His body.
Right. Amen.
And our sins were remitted because of Him shedding His blood for you and I.
Yes.
So what do we have to do to keep that, amen, that relationship with God? You know, the Bible says to offer up sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, spiritual sacrifices.
Right. Amen.
So in other words, if we want to maintain our relationship with God, guess what we have to do? We have to offer up those spiritual sacrifices. If you want peace with God and you want your relationship to continue with God, what do you have to do? You have to ingest His word.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Each and every one of you.
Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And when you ingest His word, you establish that relationship. You establish that communion.
Amen. Amen. All right.
So you can tell.
Yes.
When somebody ingests the word.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because it becomes a part of them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. A part of them.
Yes, yes. Amen.
They've established that relationship with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everything. You know, you think about it. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. A lot of people don't realize. You know, when you think about it, look at the writer. In Hebrews says here in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Please look it up in your Bibles. Hebrews 13 and verse number 10. We have an altar. You see that?
Yes.
We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle.
Amen.
We have an altar. So in other words, here's the thing. We understand that that was what took place in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament.
Right.
We do have an altar.
Yes.
Which they that have no right to eat would serve the tabernacle. You think about that. You think about that. We are privileged to be able to come and to offer up. You know, we've taken care of the sin question. Now we're offering up the sacrifice, our peace offerings.
Yes.
We have and that's time for us to come and to engage in fellowship with Him through partaking of that sacrificial meal.
Amen.
It's our time to come.
Yes.
Woo. How many of you want to make peace with God?
Amen.
How many of you have made peace with
yes.
God?
Yes.
And how many of you want to keep peace with God?
Yes.
So every time you come, you offer up that peace offering, that sacrificial offering. You're saying, Lord, I want more. I want to establish my relationship with you. I want to keep peace between you and me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We have an altar. Which they that serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. You think about it. What was he speaking of? If we want to make a distinction, you know, he's saying, which they which serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest was the only one besides the Israelites that were able to ingest that meal.
Right.
But the Levites that took care of all the menial work of the sanctuary did not have the right to eat of it. So in other words, what does that mean? We are privileged. Wow.
That is
we're
awesome.
Privileged.
We are very privileged. Jeez.
Every time we come to church, every time we come in here, like tonight, Bible study and Sunday service, special meetings. Every time we come on here, guess what the table set?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
The table is set.
Praise God.
We're walking with God, and we want to establish that relationship, and we want more peace.
Yes.
You ever wonder why it is you don't have peace?
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Because you don't maintain that peace.
That's right.
That's why you feel.
That's right.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
Think about that. That's why some of us feel like I preached Sunday. Either you're in or you're out.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 That's true.
That's right.
Either you're in the body or you're not.
Right. Amen.
Either you partake of the sacrifice or you don't.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And if you don't, guess what? You're going to feel like you're going to feel left out.
Yes, you are.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
You're going to feel like a stranger.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Jesus.
Out of place.
Now, I guarantee you that's probably how some feel.
Jesus.
You don't feel. I mean, and why is it when we have the opportunity to close that gap between us and God?
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. Ingest the word.
Amen.
Ingest
it.
Why? The very thing that we need to think more seriously about, the very thing that we need to, you know, take care of. It's right before us, but we're not we're not taking the steps. It's right before us. Let me put it this way, just like you're saying. Anyway, let's go to another scripture in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10. And and that's what that word we're talking about, that word, that Hebrew word, amen, Zeba, that's what that means.
Amen.
So it says, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Yes, they are.
Amen.
They partook. They presented their sacrifices. They went through the process. Amen. Offering up for sin. And whatever offerings for sin, trespass, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
The sin of ignorance, whatever it might be.
Amen.
The sin of false witness.
Amen.
Whatever, you know, whatever it would be. Once the sin question was taken care of, then the burnt offerings were in place, and they began to offer up their sacrifices and make peace with God. That was the next step, to establish that relationship.
Amen.
So they partook of those sacrifices, they partook of the altar. In other words, everything, the whole process, they went and they partook of it all.
Amen.
You think about that.
Amen.
So he says that. What say I then, verse number 19, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Wow. My. That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
You go back and you study all the idols and false gods in the Old Testament. There's so many, Moloch and Ashtoreth and the Queen of Heaven and all these other gods and everything, amen, as far as, you know, their religious practices. And I can tell you what, ungodly, immoral.
Amen.
Jesus.
Demonic.
Yes.
And God didn't want his people even associated with them.
That's right.
He wanted his people to separate from them.
Amen.
You'd be surprised that even those gods and what they stood for and what they represented, of course, they don't worship him like they used to worship him in the Old Testament. But let me tell you something. The ideology and the conduct is still with us today.
Yes. Modern day. Yes, it is.
And you're doing things that you're drawn into it just like everybody else and worshiping these false idols, these false gods. And you don't even know the truth behind it.
That's right.
We just bow ourselves down. A lot of Christians even do that during this time of year. Celebration of Christ Mass. They don't realize that has roots going all the way back to Nimrod.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And it's made its appearance through different gods in the Old Testament and all the way up into modern day. And now we worship it without really understanding what's really behind it.
Right.
Yes. We willingly bow down to it.
Yep. Right.
We willingly partake of it.
Amen.
And it has nothing to do with God.
Amen.
So that's a good example.
Jesus, Jesus,
And I'm not trying to say that to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right, that's okay.
But it's the truth.
That's the truth, yes it is.
Praise God.
To a false God.
I will not give my glory to another. That's what he said. Isn't that what he said? And so Paul was saying that don't be partakers of the Lord's table and partakers of the devil's.
Amen.
You cannot. Praise God. That's really important. To really understand this and to really understand this, and of course we're talking about everything that we're talking about tonight, it's a good beginning, but when to really understand it and to study the history and to study the history of the idols in the Old Testament, false gods, and you bring it up to today, you know, a lot of people, you know, they say, well, that was way back then, but no, they still exist today.
Amen.
And they're still there. And they the names may have changed just a little bit, but see, that's how deceptive Satan is.
Right.
He wants to change the name of it so that he can deceive you, so you don't know what you're really worshiping. Okay? But that's an interesting study. When you go back into it, and you find out exactly the, you know, how it all began and how it was all established and even going on through. So you know what? It's been here for a long time. Okay, you go with me to the book of Malachi. Here we see another example of when we talk about the altar, Malachi chapter 1. And in verse number 6, it says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? He said, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, and will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts." So in other words, you're saying that the Lord is contemptible because, you know what? You're not offering the sacrifice that I called you to offer. You're not giving me the best. You don't want to eat of it. You know why they didn't want to eat of it? Because it was blind. Because it was lame. Because it was blemished. So the table of the Lord was contemptible. Think about that. How many times have we come in here and we just, maybe at times, and I hope not, we just willingly rejected his word.
Wow.
Huh? Remember, it's all pertaining to the table of the Lord.
Right.
It's all pertaining to the sacrifice. Because in order for us to be able to maintain and establish that fellowship with him, to make peace with God, oh man, this eats me up. I get excited when I think about it. But this eats me up, you know, because if people really had peace with God, guess what? The relationship with God, it would be very evident.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
In the way they carry themselves,
their
mannerism, their spirit, their attitude, it would be very evident.
Amen.
Because it's those people that want to offer unto the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Ooh, Jesus.
Got to keep it going.
Jesus. Amen.
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 Have to offer them morning offerings,
yes,
and evening offerings. All the prescribed offerings for whatever time of the year, we need to offer those offerings. We need to present them to the Lord.
Yes.
We need to give the Lord our best.
Yes.
Yes.
So you think about that. You think about that. The other offering on our schedule tonight is the heave offering. Leviticus 7. And just a little introduction there. Verse number 14, Leviticus 7, verse number 14. And he's still talking about the peace offerings. And if he shall offer, this is in a sense, now, let me kind of give you an idea. This, the heave offering is in connection with the peace offering. It is a peace offering. It's the offering you bring to the Lord.
Amen.
The heave offering. Okay? So we see that. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. He's talking about the heave offering. Let's back up. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. You see that? Which he shall offer unto the Lord. So it's a peace offering.
Amen.
If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil or fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Now you notice the difference. Leavened bread. Now, why is it this when some of the other instructions, unleavened bread? Obviously, the unleavened bread is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're offering a peace offering unto the Lord, this offering is coming from us. So, because it's coming from us, leaven.
Amen. Okay.
Praise God. There's so much that is in this right now. I don't want to get distracted, but there's so much even to this right here. Lord willing, there'll be a time when we can really get into that and minister about that. But he says, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving for his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. So here he's speaking about the peace offering. And you go down there in verse number 32, and the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifice of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part, for the wave offering or the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute for forever from among the children of Israel. So the heave offering and the wave offering were given to the priest. Wow. Something, isn't it?
Yes.
So we see that the heave offering is also part of the sacrifice of peace offerings. When we examine the meaning and connection between the two, we understand these offerings as they are called. We're established to allow the worshiper to express his gratitude and to bless the Lord in return for his salvation. Now here's something very beautiful. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right. Amen.
So many passages in the scripture says that He loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave.
Right.
He loved us before we loved him. Amen. So because he has saved us, because he has delivered us, he's redeemed us, and he has sanctified us and justified us, guess what? How many of you are thankful?
Amen.
To be set free.
Yes.
To be a child of God.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
To know him.
Yes. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise
hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
So because of that, when we bring these sacrifices, this is a peace offering.
Amen.
This is a peace offering that was offered up unto the Lord.
Amen.
Because we feel the gratitude in our heart.
Yes.
We feel, let me tell you something, and you adults probably understand this more so than these young people do. For what the Lord has done for us,
right.
I'm extremely thankful.
Yes.
I'm extremely thankful for what he's done for. That's why I'm living for him.
Yes.
That's why I live for him. That's why I've lived for him all these years.
Amen.
I'm extremely thankful.
Yes.
And I want to maintain my relationship with him. You know what?
Yes.
I'm going to love him.
Yes.
Love him.
Yes.
Because my relationship is built upon that love I have for him. So as a result, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to present my peace offering. I'm going to present my sacrifice unto him. I'm going to give to him because of the gratitude I feel in my heart.
Amen.
I feel thankful.
Amen.
First off, I'm going to start with presenting my body as a living sacrifice.
Amen.
So you think about that. We understand these offerings as they are called. We're established to allow the worshiper to express his gratitude and to bless the Lord in return for his salvation. Now, you think about it now. Pay attention, because a lot of people don't realize this. In the Hebrew, when the Hebrew talks about the wave and the heave and the wave offering. How many of you, and of course, some people have experienced this in relationships. How many of you would want the person that you love to love you back?
Amen. Yes. Wow.
Wow.
Jesus. Oh, Lord.
To love you back.
Amen.
To love you back.
Amen.
You love them.
They love you.
And it's nice when it's unconditional.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be any kind of merit or any kind of reason, you know, returning favors.
Amen.
You love them because you want to love them unconditionally.
Yes.
No matter if that person's a stinker.
Amen.
All the couples are looking at each other, smiling. That tells you something.
Oh, I feel it.
But it's nice to love somebody that will love you back, isn't it?
Amen.
When you give your heart to somebody, you want that person to give their heart back to you.
Yes.
That feels good.
Yes.
Feels Amen. Good to be loved.
Yes.
So guess what? God loved us first.
Amen.
So because he loved us first, we ought to love him.
Yes.
Just
yes.
because
Jesus.
He loved us first.
Yes.
Amen.
You know what that is? That relationship is not a one-way relationship. It's not a one-way street.
Right.
Where traffic is just going one way.
Right.
That relationship is based upon the love is not just going one direction, but it's going both directions.
Amen.
So if he loved us, we ought to love him. Yes. That's the way this is all built on. This is what it's based off of, that relationship. So we're just returning our love and appreciation.
Yes. Jesus, hallelujah.
Love is powerful, isn't it?
Yes, yes it is.
Something about love, it's powerful. Amen. I mean, why do you do the things that you do?
Jesus.
When you're in love with somebody, why do you do those things? You just get. Praise God. You love that person.
Right.
You established a relationship with that, with love, that feeling, that.
Yes.
And you're just, man. Okay. So, when we take a look at what the Word talks about here, what we've been talking about here in Leviticus 7 concerning the heave and the heave offering. In the covenant made between God and his people, the relationship has to be reciprocal.
Amen.
Does everybody know what that means? Back. That motion. Pay attention. The sharing of love and adoration one for another. Of course, we understand that all interaction between God and his chosen people is based upon this kind of relationship.
Amen.
Understanding the heave offering, the Hebrew word truma is used for this offering. The word means to lift up, a gift that is exalted or to be high. As we see in the examples given in the book of Leviticus, the priest heaved up or lifted the sacrifice up before the Lord. Further examination of this word reveals that it is often used in sense of contributions made to God, but were specifically set apart for priests. For the priests, in essence, this offering had to do with the contributions. Amen.
Amen.
Made for the support of the priest and also of the maintenance of the tabernacle. The tribe of Levi were not given inheritance like the other tribes of Israel. They didn't own lands and were appointed to live in various locations in the promised land. Because of the special covenant that the Lord made with them, they were the welfare responsibility of the Israelites whom they lived amongst. But here we see. Here we see that when we employ in this sacrifice, the sacrifice of the heave offering, guess what? God gave to us first. So we return that love. Guess what? Reciprocal. That back and forth motion. Did you know that the heave offering, when they lift it up, you know what they do?
Wow. Amen. That's so cool.
Praise God.
Amen.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Think about that. What you do as far as the way you serve the Lord and everything, as far as your sacrificing, your peace offerings, because this is a peace offering.
Yes.
It's a peace offering. Yes. You're saying, Lord, thank you for this.
Yes.
Thank you for blessing me with salvation.
Yes.
Thank you for blessing my life. It's a peace offering.
Yes.
I want to return to you, Lord. I want to return to you.
Yes.
Man, what a covenant.
Yes.
So when we do that, and we do it because we love him, that's what makes a difference.
Yes, it does. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus.
When we love him.
Jesus.
We'll stop there for tonight. Thank you very much for your
Thank you.
Attention tonight. Praise God. Let's not forget the sale of Friday.
Amen. We will challenge